Turn to Proverbs 8:5. I'm going to cover another three verses, I think three, maybe two, but probably three tonight. Proverbs 8:5, this is still wisdom speaking, which is what we're going to be covering for quite some time, really in the next couple of chapters even. She says, "O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." So we'll look at that first part. O ye simple, understand wisdom. If you remember, we did look at the word O, and it's not just a letter in this case, it's actually a word. We looked at that, I don't remember what verse it was, but it was back in a previous chapter. And the word O is, it is standing before a noun in the vocative relationship. It is in connections or without construction. In other connections or without construction, expressing according to intonation various emotions as appeal, entreaty, surprise, pain, lamentation, etc. So it's a word that is used to express emotion, typically. And there's all different ways, based on the intonation, that it can be used, like, oh, 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 you know, oh. You know, there are all kinds of different ways. And it can convey different meanings based on that. And in this case, it's more like an, oh, ye simple. Like it's like lamenting, wanting them to listen to what you have to say is how it's used here. So wisdom is emphatically crying out to the simple with emotion to get their attention. And sometimes that's what has to happen. And especially with simple people, because simple people, like it says in Proverbs 1:22, love simplicity, which is why they need to be yelled at sometimes and shaken out of their stupor. In Proverbs 1, and verse 22, it says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." I don't recommend yelling at people often, but sometimes you need to yell at people, like teenagers are simple and stupid, and sometimes to shake them out of it, I think you do have to yell at them sometimes. And sometimes you got to yell at employees, you got to yell at people because they just, nothing else will get through to them. And this is kind of what wisdom's doing here. If she's not yelling, she's at least using an emphatic voice to try to really get the simple to pay attention. And the other thing that works with simple people sometimes is they have to have a dramatic experience in their life, or they have to witness a dramatic experience in somebody else's life, and that finally grabs them and shakes them and stops them in their tracks sometimes. And I got a couple of verses for that in Proverbs 19:25. See, wise people can just hear the instruction and say, oh yeah, good idea, that makes sense, I'll do that. But then other people need to see some other guy step in the ditch and break his leg and say, oh yeah, boy, he should have listened to what the other guy said. I'm not going to do that. And then there's even another class of dumb that they have to step in the ditch, break their own leg, and then maybe they'll listen next time. And then there's like a class of exceeding dumb where you step in the ditch, break your leg, and then you do the exact same thing again 6 months later. Right? So there's different levels of dumb, but some people, you know, based on how dumb you are, you can either just heed the instruction or see somebody else screw up or learn from your own mistake. It just depends. But Proverbs 19 and verse 25 says, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." So the scorner and the simple in this verse could be referring to the same person. And I think in the verb or the word construction there, it could be smite a scorner and the simple will beware, the simple being the scorner. But it could also be referring to, and more than likely it is referring to, two different people. You smite the scorner and the simple will beware. You got a couple of, you know, a group of three people at work, and one of them is just a scorner that loves to talk back and loves to scoff at everything you tell him to do, and the other two sort of follow him, and you know, they'll just follow his lead. And you walk up and smack that guy across the head and say, "Listen to me, don't do that again." And the other two are like, "Whoa, I don't want that to happen to me," right? So you smite the scorner, the simple will beware. And then Proverbs 21 and verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. You see the difference here between the simple and the wise. Once again, the scorner's punished, the simple's made wise. He takes note of that. He noticed somebody else getting punished, and he thinks, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. But the other guy, when the wise is instructed, not beaten, not smitten, when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. But the simple, he's got to either feel the pain himself or witness somebody else feel it. It's like my old Grandpa Wagner said, they who won't listen have to feel. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. So wisdom cries in this verse to the simple. And I want to define simple for you. Now, simple can be referred to in the singular or the plural. The first couple of definitions here are in the plural, and then the second part of the second definition is in the singular. But let me ask you, first of all, in this verse, is simple used in the singular or in the plural in Proverbs 8:5?
Plural.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, and ye fools.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because of the ye? What?
Yes. It is for that reason, too. But yeah, even if you didn't have the fools in the plural, with the ye, oh, ye simple, ye is plural,
yeah.
Ye simple. So in this case then, first of all, as a plural, it's persons in a humble or ordinary condition of life. And that's not how the scripture's using it. When you talk about a simple person, he just lives a simple life, and it's not a bad thing, right? But that's not how this is being used here. Number two, it's those who are unlearned, ignorant, easily misled, unsuspecting, etc. That's who wisdom is directing her exhortation to. Unlearned, ignorant, people that are just don't know, easily misled, people that are gullible, unsuspecting, people like that, that just aren't all that bright, and they just can't, you know, some people can just perceive things, and they can pick things up, and they can foresee the evil and hide themselves. Other people are just kind of clueless and blind, and that's the people that wisdom is really trying to shake up to attention. And then in the singular, it is an ignorant or foolish person. So wisdom doesn't cry to the wise. Why? Now you already looked at the outline. Why doesn't wisdom cry to the wise?
They're already there.
They're already wise. You don't have to cry to the wise, right? It's like what Jesus said, they that are whole need no physician, but they that are sick, right? Doctors shouldn't treat people that are whole anyway. But you know what I think is interesting, just a bit of a side note, but today a lot of people go to the doctor when they're not sick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They've trained us to go to the doctor for checkups and to get colonoscopies and all these things, and you can end up stressing yourself out and or getting hurt in a medical procedure or something when you're not even sick. So I think we should take Jesus' advice when it comes to that. And if you feel sick, go to a doctor. And if you don't feel sick, then just stay away. You'll probably live longer. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, wisdom doesn't cry to the wise because they already have wisdom. She rather calls to the unlearned, ignorant, easily misled, and foolish, which is what a simple person or people are. So just a couple of characteristics about the simple in the next chapter in Proverbs 9:13. We see that the simple know nothing, which is exactly what the definition says, ignorant, right? That means knows nothing or knows little. Proverbs 9:13, a foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing. But I want you to notice something. Even though she knows nothing, she goes on to tell people what they ought to be doing, right? She's calling people to right on their ways, you know. Calls them in to eat the stolen waters that are sweet and or stolen waters that are stolen. How did she say
stolen
it? Sweet and bread eat in secret is pleasant. So yeah, just because somebody knows nothing doesn't mean that they're not going to cease from teaching or telling other people what they should do.
For example, all the evolutionists.
Right. Yes. Yes. That doesn't stop.
All the pro-abortionists.
Yep, all the college professors that are, not all of them, but some of them in the humanities departments and things like that, that are absolute fools, that doesn't stop them from spewing forth
their foolishness.
Yes. The next thing about simple people is they are not discerning and believe everything they hear. Proverbs 14:15. On that previous point, I just thought about something Paul said where he talks about these false teachers that understanding neither whereof they affirm nor understanding what they say, desiring to be teachers of the law. Yeah, desiring to be teachers of the law, but understanding not what they say nor whereof they affirm or something to that effect. So they want to be teachers, but they don't even know what they're talking about. And there's lots of preachers or so-called preachers out there in the world that fit that description pretty well. So simple people are not discerning, and they believe everything they hear. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." So a simple person, in other words, is gullible. Everything they hear, they just take it at face value and they believe it. And I think we're living in an epidemic of this today, where people, if they see something on TV, they believe it, no matter what it is. If it's on TV, clearly, yeah. Or if they read it on social media or on the internet somewhere, they saw a YouTube video, whatever they hear, they believe. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. He's going to check it out before he believes it. But I do think we need to...
His going, is that referring to the prudent man or the simple?
No, the prudent man, I think. What verse was that? I already lost it. 14:15. Yeah. The prudent man looketh well to his going, to the prudent man's going. He's paying attention to where he's going and not just taking directions from everybody that tells him where to go. But I think in this case, there are two extremes to steer between. We don't want to believe everything we hear, but we also don't want to believe nothing we hear. And once you've been burned believing everything you hear, then sometimes the pendulum wants to swing the whole way back where I'm not going to believe anything that I hear. Believe nothing you hear and half of what you see kind of thing. So that would be unwise, obviously. And if you think about the absurdity of it, if you took it where you fully wouldn't believe anything you heard until you verified it for yourself, yeah, I mean, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't believe anything anybody said. You'd never get anything done. So somewhere in the middle. And that's why it's important to get wisdom from the Scripture, because when you get wisdom from the Scripture and you understand the Scripture and you start thinking like God thinks and you have enough of the parameters in your mind and enough of the general principles, you can hear something and you can filter it through what you know, and you can... your BS meter is going to start dinging when you hear something that doesn't sound right. And, so you're not going to be a simple person believing everything you hear. The next thing about simple people is that they learn folly from their stupid parents who were bad examples and didn't train them well. Proverbs 14:18. Now, I'm not referring to all parents. I'm referring to stupid parents, and there are plenty of stupid parents out there. I mean, just look in our generation. How many people do you meet every day or you see at Walmart or places and you see genuinely stupid people doing stupid things? Well, chances are those people have kids, and guess what they're teaching their kids? The same thing. They're teaching their kids their ways, sadly. Proverbs 14:18 says, "The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." The simple inherit folly. Who do they inherit it from? Well, and two,
sometimes.
And well, first of all, they inherited it from their fallen nature, right? So they get it inherently that way. But then also, who do they inherit it from? Parents, teachers, maybe, or friends, whoever their influences are. And sadly, I mean, that's terribly sad, because that's not the way it's supposed to happen. We're born into this world stupid. All of us are, right? That's our default position, is stupid. And it's the job of parents to make you smart, to train you up, so to dispense with that stupidity. But if you start off in your default position and your parents only add to it, you're going to be in a really sad shape. And you think about it. Look at what happens like in the inner cities, where you got these poor kids that grow up with only one parent, and even that one parent is pretty well worthless, no father around. And look at them. What do they end up being? Gangs, drugs, jail, popping out babies, just to repeat the process, right? The simple inherit folly. They learn it from their parents, and then they go on and they do the same thing. It works it works the same way with good people and with bad people. If good people do what the scripture says and pass the religion, pass the faith down to their children learn that from them, and they propagate it, well, it works the other way too. You know, and we're seeing the fruits of that after a few generations now in this country. And then the other thing about simple people is they have no discernment to foresee evil, so they plow forward and suffer for it. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. They don't foresee the evil. Now, I'm not talking about, and the Bible's not talking about, foreseeing evil like you'd have to know the future, things that you couldn't possibly know. But there are certain evil things that you can foresee. You know, if you make $1,000 a month and you're looking at your budget, what you're spending is $1,200 a month every single month, and you've got $100 in savings, you know, you should be able to foresee the evil and say, something bad's going to happen here in a very short amount of time, and I better amend my ways and either stop spending so much or get a better job, make more money or something. That's a very simple example that, I mean, you would really have to be simple not to be able to get that. But there are things like that, right? There is evil out there that we should be able to foresee if we have good sense and wisdom.
And it's amazing how many people cannot see that.
Yeah.
Yep, the government's going to bail them out.
Right, right. And that's the problem.
They have this attitude exactly that somebody
will take care of me. Yep, yep, and that's what you call a moral hazard. Yep. Or just something as simple as wintertime's coming. You better foresee the evil. Get yourself some warm clothes, some firewood, some whatever you have to do to make it through. You know, start laying up. I mean, at least back in the day, start laying up some food because, you know, you're not going to be able to plant a garden in the wintertime. Things like that, right? Just that's pretty basic stuff. So wisdom enjoins the simple to understand wisdom. She says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. Now, the fact that wisdom calls on the simple to understand wisdom implies that it's possible for them to do so. And I thought that was, I mean, it's a very simple point, using simple in a different sense. It's a simple point, but if you think about it, it's true, and it really tells us something. It leads us to an important conclusion. That just because somebody is simple doesn't mean that they have to remain simple, right? Just because you didn't learn, maybe your parents didn't teach you anything, you didn't learn good things when you were a child, maybe you never learned to manage money, or you never learned to, you know, work hard, or you never, who knows, whatever it is, it doesn't mean you have to stay in that condition, right? You can change, you can learn. And I think about things that I didn't learn when I was a kid. I had good parents in a lot of ways. I mean, my parents, you know, like anybody else, I'm sure had their shortcomings. But there were things that I just didn't learn. Well, for one thing, from 12 years on and up, I was living with my dad. My mom was still around, but day to day, I was living with my dad. And there were just things that I just didn't learn, that just normal people probably growing up in normal households learn, hospitality and things like that, where we didn't have people over, right? It was just the three of us. And so there was just lots of stuff that I didn't know, and I had to learn later on in life. I learned a lot from my pastor and his family and families in the church in Cincinnati. I just learned basic things that, you know, that I probably should have known all along. So there's hope. There's hope for any of us. It says, ye simple, understand wisdom. Wisdom is capacity of judging rightly in matters relating to life and conduct, soundness of judgment in the choice of means and ends, sometimes less strictly sound sense, especially in practical affairs, as opposed to folly. And wisdom says here to understand wisdom. To understand is to comprehend, to apprehend the meaning or import of, to grasp the idea of. So when you put this together, it's possible for an unlearned, ignorant, gullible, foolish person, which is what a simple person is, to learn how to make good decisions, to maximize his well-being, his prosperity, influence, and happiness in this life. It is possible. And no matter what stage in life you're in, and we'll get to another verse later on, I think it's still in this portion of the study, that says, be wise in thy latter end. Hear instruction and be wise in thy latter end. So it doesn't really matter how old we are. We can still learn wisdom if we want to. And that's really the case. The person that can learn wisdom still has to have the desire to learn wisdom. He has to want to. He has to set his heart upon it. And so I think a good thing for us all to do, if you want to learn wisdom, because wisdom is making good decisions, learn to ask yourself those famous words that the Apostle Paul said a couple of times in Scripture, what saith the Scripture? Every decision you make, no matter what it is, ask yourself, what saith the Scripture? What does the Bible say about this? Whether it's a financial decision or a relationship decision or a work decision or whatever it is. It wouldn't matter what it is. What does the Bible say about this? What saith the Scripture? And if you don't know what the Bible says about it, then go looking and search it out and seek it out. And if you still can't find out, or you think, well, maybe the Bible doesn't talk about this, well, that's what you have a pastor for. Call up your pastor and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What does the Bible say about this? When you do that, you'll quickly learn to be a wise person, because you will be making decisions based on what God says and how God says you should make decisions, and that is wisdom by definition. So this can be accomplished, as I just said, if the simple man will read the Word of God, listen to it when it's preached, and endeavor to apply it to his life. So you got to read it yourself. If the only Word of God you ever hear is during a sermon, that's good, but it's not sufficient, right? The Bereans were noble, more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So you need both. You need to hear the sermons, but you also need to search them out yourself. But then you need to also be resolved to apply it to your life. So what you learn, then we have to apply, because getting a bunch of head knowledge doesn't really help much if we don't do what we've learned. And the Word of God will make wise the simple. Psalm 19 and verse 7. So it doesn't say that it will make wise the wise. I mean, it'll make a wise man wiser. Right? We just read a verse like that, that if you instruct a wise man, there is one in Proverbs 9, give instruction to a wise man and he'll be yet wiser. So the Bible will make wise men wiser, but the Bible will also make stupid people less stupid and even smart if they keep reading it. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It doesn't matter if you have no high school diploma, no nothing, no bachelor's degree, no master's degree, no PhD. In fact, probably the less of those things you have, the more likely you are to understand the Scripture. You know why? Because God says that he hath chosen the weak things and the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. So probably the less formal education you have, the more likely you are to understand the Scripture, because you're not wise in your own conceit, you're not proud and full of yourself and things like that. Not that I'm disparaging education. But it will, as long as you can read, you could make yourself wise by reading the Bible. Even if you couldn't read, you can listen to the Bible even. You can listen to it on your smartphone if you have one or whatever. So really, there's nobody, unless you're deaf. I guess if you're deaf and blind and have no fingers, so you can't do Braille, then you have an excuse for being dumb. But if you have fingers or eyes or ears, you have no excuse for being dumb, right? Because you can somehow consume the Word of God and it could make you wise. Psalm 119 and verse 130. Now, that's not saying that the Bible's going to give you an IQ of 150, but you don't have to have an IQ of 150. Right? You could probably have an IQ of 70 and be a wise person just know how to make some basic, decent, good, common sense decisions. You don't have to be a brainiac, right, to be a wise person. Psalm 119 and verse 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." So there's how you do it. When wisdom says, "O ye simple, understand wisdom," well, right there it is. The words of God giveth understanding to the simple. And the Proverbs in particular were written to give subtlety to the simple. We looked at this a long time ago in Proverbs 1 and verse 4. Solomon, in these first few verses, is giving the reason why he wrote the Proverbs and the purpose for them. And one of the reasons is to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And subtlety is that cleverness, sagacity. It's just good sense. Now, the second part of the verse that we're looking at here, it says, "And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." Now, this is another example, and we see lots of these in the Old Testament. This is an example of a Hebrew parallelism. And if you think about parallelism, parallel is when two things run side by side, right? So you think about that in these verses, what you have is two statements running side by side that are basically saying the same thing, just in slightly different language. One is repeating the other, changing the words up a little bit, and explaining the other one. And this is one such case. So she says there, "And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." A fool is kind of like a simple one. It's one deficient in judgment or sense, one who acts or behaves stupidly, a silly person, a simpleton. In biblical use, applied to vicious or impious persons. Now, a fool is, at least by these definitions, a fool is worse than a simpleton, because a simpleton was ignorant, unlearned, gullible, things like that. A fool takes it to another level, and he's just outright stupid. He behaves stupidly. He's not merely a simpleton, but he's really putting his foolishness into practice. So for the simple to understand wisdom, they must be of an understanding heart. This is what this verse is telling us when we put the two parts of it together. If you want to understand wisdom, you must have a heart to understand. You must have a heart that is capable of understanding. And that goes back to the part that to the comment that I made a minute ago, having a desire, you have to have a heart for it. There's a verse in Proverbs which says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" If you don't have a heart to get wisdom, either you don't have a heart that's even capable of it, or you just don't have the heart, like the desire to have it. Either one, you're not going to get the wisdom. God must give the understanding heart if we're to understand wisdom and be wise. 1 Kings 3 and verse 12. 1 Kings 3:12. There's some level of wisdom that a person could have without having a regenerate heart. Because remember, the Proverbs are general maxims that are normally, you can just observe life and see that these things hold true. So it's not like you'd have to have a regenerate spirit in you to be able to decode these Proverbs, because they're spiritual things that an unspiritual man couldn't understand. These are basically observations about life. So there are plenty of things that even an unregenerate person could understand. But to really take it up a level and to be able to understand how to use the Word of God and the precepts in there to make good decisions and understand how God thinks and let that conform your thinking to that, you have to have, you know, the heart that God gives to the heart that has that understanding in it. 1 Kings 3 and verse 12. This is after Solomon had asked for wisdom. The Lord says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." So this was also obviously a measure of wisdom given to Solomon that other men didn't have. So it wouldn't have mattered. Other men could have just used their natural reasoning capabilities and observed the world around them, and they would not have understood the things that Solomon understood, because he had something special. And every person that's regenerate likewise does. Not to the extent that Solomon does, but people that are regenerate, that are saved, that are born again, they have a spirit within them that can understand the words of God, the spiritual things of God. And when other people read them and they're just words on the page to them, it just doesn't mean anything to them. So you're blessed. If you can read the Bible and you can understand basic spiritual truths in it, you're blessed, because not everybody can do that. But before God gives wisdom, just look back a few verses, we have to desire it. And Solomon is just an example of this. Solomon said to the Lord, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And I think that's a very good prayer for any pastor that's ever going into the ministry, to pray, "Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." It's a big task that a man certainly cannot do of his own strength. James 1 and verse 5 tells us these famous words, which you'll remember when you hear them if you didn't recognize the reference, where James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given." So if you lack wisdom, that means you're simple, right? Like I was talking about earlier, if you lack wisdom, well, there's an antidote to that. Let him ask of God. But you got to have the desire. "That giveth to all men liberally." So anybody that asks God for wisdom and truly wants to know, and God knows the heart. God knows if you really want to know wisdom or you don't. If you really do and you ask God, he giveth to all men liberally, which means in abundance. So he gives a lot. "And upbraideth not." He's never going to chastise you and say, "You should have known that. Well, you've been sitting in church for 30 years. You should have known that." He's never going to chastise you for that. And then look at the result. "And it shall be given him." That's a shall. So it's a promise. If you lack wisdom and you want it and you ask God for it in faith, that's what he goes on to say, nothing wavering, it shall be given. And I have personally experienced this, and I know a lot of other people that have too. I've heard very similar stories from a lot of different people in the churches that they didn't understand the truth until they sincerely and humbly asked and begged God for it and to know it, and the Lord opened their mind, opened their understanding, and they got it. And that's what happened to me as well. So if we lift up our voice for understanding and diligently seek it, the Lord will give it. Proverbs 2, 3 through 6. So just cover a little bit of information we covered a while back. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3. "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." So you have to really want understanding. "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures." You got to dig. You got to really open up the Bible and really start reading. "Then thou shalt understand. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So if we really want it, we really ask for it, we really search for it, the Lord will give it to us. And that's what wisdom is exhorting right here. "Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." And that takes care of verse 5.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.